Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Movie Geeks United Slam Dance Film Festival Spotlight on Drones. It's been described as The Office meets The Day the Earth Stood Still, or Office Space meets Close Encounters of the Third Kind. However you choose to categorize it, Drones is one of the most unique, enchanting, and audience-pleasing films from this year's Slam Dance Film Festival. The film screens on Monday, January 25th. Here are the members of the cast and crew of the film, including actor Sam Levine, a good favorite of ours from the show, Jonathan M. Woodward, and directors Amber Benson and Adam Bush.
What's on the mind is you and Amy. What's up, friend? Something? Question mark?
We're from different worlds. She uses capital letters in her instant messaging. I'm strictly a lowercaser.
Why are you asking me?
Real, Clark.
No, it's because she's strange, because you're strange. Remember that.
I waited for you.
Why should she be denied a chance at happiness? What could be better for OmniLink than...
You're not gay or married or a third thing, are you?
No. Yes, a third thing.
Like if rubber bands started being desk fans socially, do I trust that their relationship, which I'm totally rooting for, hit a snag and rubber band was thrown for a loop? Do I think he'd pull it together?
But forgive me, if I can't just wrap it up, I am a person. I have emotions. People have emotions.
You are a prick, and you're mean.
I've received pay bumps commensurate with promotions I didn't want and didn't get.
Because I just asked him to look it over. Jesus, launch the attack.
You're a few hours away from the premiere, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm wanting to know how you guys are feeling. Amber, are the nerves going for you right now?
Yeah, my stomach hurts. I feel a little nauseous, actually. This is
you
my first time.
You jerky and warned you not to.
I know. I got the Sasquatch. I'm not kidding. And the producer and Adam made me buy the Sasquatch beef jerky on the way up from Los Angeles.
I thought I was kidding.
Time for everybody.
So, is this the first time that you'll be seeing the movie with a larger audience? I would imagine, Adam.
Yeah, the first time we're seeing it in a room with people. It's very, very exciting. There's kids that have flown in from Belgium just to see it, and from
other places too.
Kids are coming in from all over the world because it's the only chance to see it right now.
Wow. And it has a unique tone. I've heard it described as The Office meets The Day the Earth Stood Still, which, you know, really piques your interest. Tell me about the genesis of the project, Adam, how it came to be.
I would say the tone is more like a Preston Sturges film meets Close Encounters.
Okay.
You know, that old thing.
But thanks.
I was looking to produce a film. That's what I wanted to do. I wasn't planning on directing. I just wanted to make a film with my buddy Jordan, who had opened up a company in Louisiana. And he was making money, making genre picks, just one after the other, horror films, Christian films, anything that was genre-specific he was making. And I kept pushing him to kind of make something that he would enjoy, something that he would like to work on, something that wasn't just a job, but that was, you know, with his friends or something he believed in or something he would actually watch. So that's how this started. I was sending him scripts trying to get, you know, find the right thing at the right time. He called me up and said, I have an office available. We have a time frame. If you could find me a script that works within these parameters, we can make a movie. So So I turned to the writers that I knew, and I said, do you guys have anything that fits this category? And he said, no, but we'll write it. And 6 days later, they were done with the script. A week later, we were in pre-production. A week after that, we were making the movie.
Oh, my gosh, that's a dream. Wow, that's quick. So Jonathan...
It's somewhere between the dream and nightmare thing. It's definitely asleep is the right idea.
Jonathan, so when you saw the script and you heard this idea, what was it about your character and the overall piece that drew you to it?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was the script came through, and they said, Adam and Amber want you to do the thing. And I was like, you know, when straight-up offers come down, it's just literally the most flattering and exciting moment, you know, an actor can really have. It was so thrilling. And I just read through it, and I kept reading, and I hadn't actually checked to see what part they wanted me to read for, because I just figured it would be, you know, like a sort of a little walk-on thing. And as I read it, and it kept going through, I was like, wow, this is funny. And that guy Brian has an awesome part. I hope they cast somebody really good, because that thing is awesome. And I'm going to be super jealous when we get on set and I watch him doing his thing, because this is great. And I actually couldn't believe that it was really me that they wanted to have for this role. And I called my agent just to make sure I had it right, that they wanted me to do this. And I was just blown away. And it's been absolutely the highlight of anything I've ever done. It's just the most fun I ever had.
And Sam, how about you? What did you like about the script?
Well, at first I was told I'd be playing this character named Brian, and then this piece of crap. oh, I'm sorry, I must have it wrong. No, when they asked me to do the film, I had the same reaction, which was I read the script and couldn't put it down. It was an awesome script. And I'd known Adam and Amber, and I had admired them both as actors, so I figured, oh, they'll probably be good directors.
Mm-hmm.
And well, and it turned out I was right, basically just guessing. I'm a gambler, you see.
that's interesting, though, because this is a situation with you guys, Adam and Amber, where you co-directed this project. How did that work?
Well, we have the same sensibility. We both like the same things. Then we also have other things that we don't like of the others. You know, like I love cheesy girly movies, and Adam humors me by going to them. And he loves Bob Dylan, and I appreciate Bob Dylan, but he does not set the world afire for me. So we have things that are similar, and then we have these very disparate things, and I think that's how we work together. The things that he's really good at and things that I'm really good at, and neither of us are good at what the other's good at. So mm-hmm. It's like we complement each other. Adam loves dealing with actors, and I love bossing the crew around.
It was actually, from an outside perspective, they were pretty remarkable. Like, there are a lot of reasons why you would want to be trepidatious going into a two-director situation, because, you know, the directorship, the buck has to stop somewhere, and, you know, confusion at the top really can be troublesome, but it was just absolutely not the case with these guys.
Mm-hmm. So Sam, when you watch the movie, can you sense their two personalities distinctively in it?
The only reason I'm going to say no is because they were like hive-minded. They both had a very clear idea of what they wanted this movie to look like, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say that it was one of theirs more than the others. So I feel like you'd look at this movie, you go, oh, that's an Amber Benson, Adam Bush movie. You know, like you're watching a Coen Brothers movie. Like, it would be hard to determine whether
right.
you're watching, you know, Ethan or Joel. You just say, oh, no, it's a collaboration movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Fooled you all.
There you go.
And Adam, tell me about directing, and tell me about the experience of actually putting this to film. Did anything about the process surprise you?
Yeah. I would say we had a 14-day shoot schedule, and that was very, very difficult, and it required as much prep work as possible, and we had very little time to do that in. So that was a challenge within itself. But I think the smartest thing we did in terms of covering our own asses as directors was cast really well. Like, we had an idea of who we wanted and what we wanted, and it's a very stylized dialogue that you know immediately if a person is comfortable with or not. And I think the actor does, too. They know as soon as they're reading whether this is something that they can do naturally or not. So the trick was just finding people who can handle that and who knew to play comedy like it's real.
Yeah.
I found that a lot of times when you cast a comedian in a serious role, they remove all sense of humor from it. They say this is a serious role, so now I'm being serious. So I think that rings false because there is actually humor in dramatic moments. There's humor in real life, even if it's not a punchline. And we needed people that could straddle that line of being, you know, a threat and genuinely angry or upset or sad and also know what the rhythm of comedy is. And I believe we found that, and that's why I think the film works if it does.
Well, I'm curious about independent film and particularly comedic-toned film like this one. These are actor questions. I'll start with you, Jonathan. When you're doing a script like this, when you're performing it, do you know it's working when you're doing it? Jonathan?
Wow. I'm going to say sometimes no and sometimes yes. Sometimes when you finish a take and you really, you know, you just sort of, you've just finished something, but then when they hit cut, you know, a huge roar of approval comes from the crew who've been sitting around the monitors. That's always a nice thing. But really it was Adam and Sam that I really relied on most. Like Adam had the outside perspective and he really knew exactly what temperature things should be all the time. And it never occurred to me to even doubt that that might be the truth. And Sam has just impeccable stagecraft from just being there and doing it much longer than I have and just having jokes and knowing how they work. Mm-hmm. So it's not always that you can tell. It's just that you can always rely on the fact that you know the people you are talking to collectively will all know.
Yeah. And Sam, you've done, I mean, you've done TV and movies, big and independent films. And with this one being shot in 14 days and the pace of your typical independent film production anyway, is there something about that that assists you as an actor where you don't have a lot of time to kind of labor over every moment?
I prefer it. I'm not a fan of a million takes, and we rarely did, I would say, in any one scene more than four or five maximum, because, you know, time was such a factor. And when you do that on a huge big budget film, you sometimes limit yourself to that many takes simply because film is so damn expensive. Mm-hmm. But here we were shooting on video, so it wasn't about the cost. It was about if we don't get the scene and move on, we're not going to make the day, and if we don't make the day, we cannot add on days. So get it right, or we are all in trouble.
This festival, Slam Dance, I don't know if any of you guys have attended Slam Dance before.
This is the first time for all of us to be here at Slam Dance. I think some of us have been here for Sundance for other things, but as a group, this is our first Slam Dance appearance.
So, Amber, there are lots of festivals out there, and they're all great, and they all kind of promote a genuine love of film, which is what I love about festivals. But can you tell the personality of Slam Dance compared to these other festivals?
I got to tell you, and this, I mean, I'm not blowing smoke because, honestly, Slam Dance is where we wanted to get in. I really feel like they care about cinema. They care about the films. They care about the filmmakers. I've been to other film festivals, and it's a celebrity who's famous game. And I feel like with Slam Dance, it's like, sure, you know, they're happy to have us because some of us have done television work and film work, whatever. But they love the movie. They're proud of the movie. They want it to be part of their stable, and that's what we wanted. We wanted to be at Slam Dance. We were like, when we got the acceptance, Adam and I were like laughing and crying and jumping up and down because, like, it was the paradigm of where we wanted to be.
And not just the festival that we wanted to be in. We weren't so excited just because we got into the festival we wanted to get into. We were so excited because the letter seemed to be written from a filmmaker to other filmmakers going, not just we like this movie, but here's why. And all of their reasons were exactly what we were hoping somebody would take away from the film. And you never know if anyone's going to feel that way because you make it in a bubble and then you release it to the world and then they write back saying, these things that you were trying to do, you did them and thank you. And that's just overwhelming. To me, that was when we won and everything after that is just gravy.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But Adam, when you since you've arrived, have you interacted with other filmmakers at the festival, and do you get a sense of that kind of feeling about the festival and a sense of community?
Oh, and I gotta say, I've been to other film festivals, and it's as tense as an audition waiting room, where people are just like, we're all here for the same thing, and we're all being really friendly, but they kind of secretly hope you die. And that's what it feels like at these other film festivals sometimes. This is the only one. And it's not an accident. Like, the festival goes out of its way to continue to bring the filmmakers together. They have things in New York, in Austin, in L.A., all before you even get there. So you're already friends with the filmmakers before you've arrived. Then you show up, and you're all just clinging to each other, comparing stories, asking how the screenings have gone, giving each other tips and advice. It really is like all these people working together, hoping that we'll all be working together again really soon.
Yeah. Well, this movie, it's hysterical. It's a lot of fun. And I know audiences will respond to it. Are you, Jonathan, what are you most looking forward to from this whole experience?
This is the whole experience that I'm looking forward to, is to get back together with my friends and celebrate this movie. It was 18 months ago, and I adore these people, and I just want to spend my time with them making movies. That it's a combination of just pride and absolute love. They're such perfect little pieces of cake. That's what they are. And this is really the joy for me, is it's actually everything I wanted out of a film festival experience and nothing that I didn't. And I couldn't ask for more, except we'll ask for more.
Sam, when you're talking about independent film and the community, do you sense a camaraderie between people in that community?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. The independent film community, it's one of these things that I've firsthand been able to watch kind of have this incredible boom in the almost 11 years now that I've lived in Los Angeles. Back in the late 90s, most independent films cost $1 million, $2 million, and over the last decade or so, with all the advents in cameras, and now video can look as good as film, and now the Red camera. I mean, the fact that we made this film for $100,000 and change, and it looks as good as a $5 million movie. It blows my mind away. And so there is absolutely a very large community of very supportive filmmakers who want to help each other, who need help and know that they can depend on each other, and actors who know that even if they can't get cast in giant studio movies, they can still keep working because there are lots of independent movies being made. And I think it's a wonderful community.
Yeah, the indie film landscape has morphed over the years, certainly, and some of that is good and some of that probably not so good. But the technology is there where it's easier than ever to pick up a camera and put your vision on screen. But there's still stumbling blocks of financing and exposure and distribution and all of that. Amber, where do you think the independent film is now?
I think independent cinema is heading to your internet. That didn't make any sense. No.
The internet's broken.
I think independent cinema is heading to the internet, not specifically yours, but to everybody's. I think the distribution delivery system is changing. I think people are going to be able to see these indie films online and be able to interact with filmmakers online and be part of something that they wouldn't be able to be part of because so many towns don't have independent cinemas. You can't see these films unless you go to New York or Los Angeles or San Francisco, and I think that's changing now. I mean, that's something we definitely wanted to study with Drones. We want to move forward. We love what Joss Whedon did with Dr. Horrible Sing-Along's blog and what Felicia Day is doing with the Guild. I feel like they're the front runners, and we're following in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm. And Adam, you actually have two movies at the festival. You have this one, Drones, but you also have Cummings Farm, right?
Yeah, and that came out of Drones. That came out of exactly the conversation that Jordan Kessler and I were having before we started, which was, why aren't we making movies with our friends? Why aren't we working on things that we want to? And we made Drones, and we had such a fun time that Jordan immediately went into pre-production with another friend, working on a script that he liked and working with more of his friends and bringing more people he knew in. And it's just an extension of the exact same business model and the exact same aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. And we talked to a big group from Cummings Farm, and their interview's up live now. So you're represented on that front, too, from the show.
Oh, great.
So, Sam, I want to ask, what's next for you? Are you in Lost?
It's somebody on Twitter. I'm very happy to know you again. I did earlier this week, shot an itsy bitsy teeny tiny fun little cameo on Lost. It's something that Damon Lindelof, who's an old friend, and I have been discussing for years, and it just sort of came up very quickly, and I leapt at the chance to do it. So that, I think, should be the 11th week of the show. It's the 12th episode in.
Okay.
Can you just sum us up as to what's happening on Lost up until your part so we know context?
You know, I actually don't watch the show, but I guess at the end of the all I know is that it's something about it's all Hurley's dream. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So about Patrick Duffy.
Showering.
That Dallas reference, that's very good. I appreciate every one of you guys taking time out before your premiere, and I wish you the best of luck with the premiere. And please, let me know how it goes. I'd love to know the audience reaction to it.
You got it. We will.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you.